Ow! Ow!
Just hold still. This will all be over before you know it.
Mildred reflected, not for the first time, about what babies, even the staunchest warriors, could be when it came time to treating the wounds they feared so little to risk incurring. Not that the baby fist-sized crater in the troopie's leg was a combat trauma, exactly. They'd been stopped for yet another line repair a couple days back, a relatively minor one, fortunately. Just a washout the train's own complement could fix expeditiously enough. Mildred dreaded the next labor roundup. Her patient had taken a break from repair work to walk in among a field of head-high sunflowers, not yet in bloom, to take a leak. It wasn't the smartest thing a body ever did, given that they were now in the serious Deathlands, what had been western Kansas, with hotspots all around and attendant muty menaces abounding. One had gotten him, in fact. Fortunately, it hadn't been lethal. He wasn't sure what it was, even. Something had stung him. He'd screamed at the sudden white-hot pain and brushed something off his leg that vanished instantly among the tall green stalks. He'd run a dangerous fever for 24 hours, and the wound had swollen up in a huge blister that Mildred had lanced. She then had to debride necrotized flesh from the gaping hole it left behind, grateful once again they had actual anesthetics on board. Stupefying a patient on jolt and then tying him down and cutting him open was not her idea of a clean, efficient procedure. But no anesthetic could be spared for just changing the dressing and disinfecting the wound. So the patient squirmed and sniveled and generally carried on like a child. Of course, he was a child to Mildred's eyes. No more than 17, a dirt farm boy who was drawn to swearing the general's oath by the lure of adventure, or more likely, the prospect of 3 hots and a cot each and every day. As she was finishing up rebandaging the wound, the carriage vibrated. It wasn't the usual swaying of Magog underway. It felt like slow, heavy pounding. There it was again. The kid perked up.
That's my deuce!
One of the train's 50-caliber Browning machine guns corking off. Mildred knew the nickname. JB had taught her. He and that nasty old fart Leo were as thick as thieves, playing back in their gunsmith's wet dream armory car. She snipped the last bandage with her broken-nosed scissors, then let the boy to pull his own BDU trousers back on, and went to the window to look out. The sky was all the colors of a really nasty bruise. Bluish-green, red, orange, yellow. It was going to take her a while to get used to that again, after the relatively clean skies of the desert southwest. It looked threatening, more than the deep Deathland sky always looked.
At least I don't have to sweat the chem storms.
Shit!
A dark mass slammed into the window. Giant talons raked at the plastic. A horrific visage snapped at her with a long-toothed beak as claw-tipped wings beat against the window.
Scream wig, yeah! No shit!
The window held, as it would against anything short of a wag chiller round, or maybe a kiss from Maud Deuce. The muty vanished, whipped away by its wings, or the wind of Magog's passage. To prove she wasn't faint-hearted, Mildred went right back to the window, pressed her face against it, and looked up. A cloud of the winged horrors circled above the train, darting down now and again to attack it.
There's millions of the things, and they're a lot bigger than what I'm used to.
She was feeling all kinds of blaster-induced vibes now through the very fabric of the train. The 50s' deliberate mighty pounding, the quicker tempo of the lighter M60s and Mag 58s, the ripping snarl of minis. As she watched, a burst caught a slow-flapping creature not 30 yards from the windows and ripped it apart in a spray of black.
Yes! Shit.
Mildred helped him up, concerned he might have dislodged the fresh bandage or done some new hurt to himself. She kept a firm grip on his biceps to restrain any further displays of juvenile exuberance.
That'll show the bastards.
Right! Now just calm down till you get your damn pants on.
He obeyed. Looking out again, Mildred saw something that made her heart feel as if someone had punched its pause button. One scream wing stooped like a falcon on the open-top emplacements. Its claws locked into the back muscles of an unwary Sekhman and plucked him right out of his armored nest. His buddies saw it too. They instantly sprang to do what they could to help him, which was to say that every blaster that would bear instantly poured fire at the muty and its doomed prey. Mildred saw the man's body jerk as bullet sprays ripped into it, once, twice, 3 times. By the third, she was sure it wasn't moving under its own power anymore. The scream wing staggered from repeated strikes, but kept doggedly pounding the air until a burst literally sawed its left wing away at the root. Then it corkscrewed right down into the prairie, exactly like a stricken aircraft in an old day's newsreel.
What a world.
The battle raged on outside. The Screamwings could do nothing whatever to Magog itself, of course. The only question was what damage they could inflict on the exposed troops before they were all driven off or chilled.
Gets worse from here. They say Kansas City's so hot we can't even go out without rad suits.
Great. Just great. Now go on. Get your skinny butt back to your station. Got a feeling I'm gonna get me some patients who need me a boatload worse than you do before too long.
Night in the Deathlands. As dusk settled, the best shelter Paul had been able to locate had been this long-abandoned line shack, whose frame sides and tar-paper roof had mostly survived the depredations of years and storms. The most conspicuous gaps they had covered over with scraps of planking they found lying around, or shards of petrified tar-paper broken off a roll left lying against one wall an unguessable time before. It would keep off the chem storms well enough, and at least delay any night-stalking predators long enough for the pair to prepare a blaster-catered reception for them. But quarters were close in there with the Paul Yawl, and would be closer still when they unrolled their bedrolls on either side of it. For ventilation, and maybe to stave off claustrophobia, they had left the door open. The sky was roiling brown and yellow clouds, twined with sinuous strands of self-luminous orange. Sometimes the seething cloud mass was lit from within by discharges. Red, purple, blue-white. Your usual weather on the formerly Great Plains. The breeze was cool and didn't stink of toxins anyway. Paul and Christy sat inside the doorway looking out and gnawing on their last haunches of the one-eyed pronghorn she had popped with her M16 a few days back. A mutie herself, Christy had no reflex revulsion against eating tainted flesh. For his part, Paul claimed he ate anything that didn't eat him first. To be on the safe side, because mutie meat could be poisonous, Christy had tasted a bit of the kill's liver and heart, trusting her poison lore and her body's extraordinary recuperative powers to keep her from lasting harm. She experienced no adverse reaction, so they cleaned and cooked the little beast and ate him with appetite by installments.
Guess I better finish this up tonight.
Christy sniffed briefly at the leg. She tore another chunk of roasted flesh out with her teeth and chewed.
Getting a little rank even for me.
True to his creed, the rail ghost just shrugged and gnawed manfully at his own chunk. The secret, Christy knew, lay in letting the maggots have their way, only brushing them off right before you yourself were ready to chow down. That way they cleaned up the seriously nasty decay and prevented it from spoiling the surrounding flesh, just the way they did an open wound on a person.
So tell me, how come you know so much about Magog?
He chewed and thought, took a swig from a water bottle, and swallowed. He had a great knack for finding safe water. Not always clean exactly, but as with their food, neither was picky.
Well, as you probably worked out for yourself, being such a smart young lady, I have a thing for trains. I love trains. Only two things in this life I do love. I love to tinker, to make things, to fix things, to change things around so they work better, or do things they never did before. That and trains. Loved them as long as I can remember. Only as you also might have noticed, there ain't none.
Well, not many.
Nope, not many at all. Just a few on milk runs here and there, mostly back east. Biggest I know has a total working track run of 60 miles. Belongs to the Baron of Mobile. That's Caius Caligula Helton. Mighty forward-thinking Baron. Rich as Croesus. And hardly cruel to speak of. His son Mark Anthony is an officer for the general on Magog, its own bad self. Women folk who've seen him reckon he's the most gorgeous man on legs. Light-skinned black kid he is. Kind of bronzy, curly hair.
The eyes Christy turned on him were slits of green hellfire. He nodded.
Yeah, from your description of what happened at the Wag Caravan, I figured he was the man in charge.
He held up his hands to ward off the outburst he saw building rapidly on her lovely face.
Yes, I do know a lot about Magog. More than most of the people inside her, except the general and some of his techies. Maybe young Mark. They say he's a studious sort. Don't you see? I'm obsessed with her.
Christy stared at her companion, trying to assimilate what he was saying.
I told you, I love trains. Well, Magog isn't just the greatest train around today, no siree. She's the greatest train ever was built, or ever will be. See, one of these days, somebody will put this land back together. Maybe the general like he dreams of. Maybe someone else. And maybe not back into one big piece like it was before. But see, the technology is still out there. There's folks right now... Anyway, once somebody gets his or her act together enough to really rebuild, they're not going to mess around for long with trains like you and I know them. Even though they're the most efficient land transport currently going, oh no, they'll build magnetic levitation wags or some such, and then who knows, maybe anti-gravity. I heard some things, maybe even seen one or two. Tells me the old guys weren't far from latching on to the secret of that. After all, it ain't hardly any less likely than them teleport booths you and your friends are used to using.
Christy blinked, almost as if struck. She knew Paul knew of them. Given how far and widely he had traveled, it wasn't at all surprising. Come to think of it, despite her initial bemusement at what she thought was childlike egoism on her host's part, she was surprised they hadn't heard of him. A thought hit her and chilled her right through. If Paul knew...
Yeah, Missy. Old General, he knows who and what your friends are right enough. He's a crusty old bastard and mad as a mud hen. But one thing, ain't no flies on him. No, none at all. He has his spies, people who ferret out bits of information from far and wide. But back off the trigger before you go blasting off, Christy Roth. Brianna told you, folks back in Tucumcari saw at least three of them hale and hearty as you please. General hadn't iced him down by then. Likely he reckons he's got reasons to keep him alive.
And is this General always rational?
A spasm of angry fear knotted her gut. She threw the well-gnawed bone into the night. Grass rustled as things rushed upon the prize.
No, no he ain't. But getting our bowels in an uproar ain't exactly gonna keep your friends alive now, is it? Our best bet's to keep a clear head and keep after him, ain't it?
She made herself suck down a breath deep into her belly until it almost felt as if her pelvis was expanding. Letting as much of the rage and fear and sorrow flow out of her on the exhale as she could, she nodded.
Yeah, it is. So you've chased the train for years, Paul?
Yes. Every night she drives through my dreams, shining like the sun. It's what I live for, to catch a glimpse of her, to run my hand down those shining steel sides.
But you've never actually caught up to her, have you?
Nope, never.
Then what makes you think you can catch her now?
Amazingly, he grinned. That tanned but brilliant child's grin of his.
Why, because I never had the help of Christy Roth before.